Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Well, it's the big show. Yeah, there's a
big, bad show tonight. Wendy's Big Show rolling through Wednesday, ready to rock and roll. The Milwaukee Brewers will be in town. We got Bill Michaels still hanging out. How we looking?
I was just trying to be Gary.
Give me one.
How come? Yeah, I'll give you a Gary.
Give me a
come
Gary.
Come on, there you go now. There you go. Oh, dear, you, man.
You got a long way to road. You got a long road to travel.
I do. I'm heading off to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. But I know you're in here by yourself right now.
Ready to rock and roll.
Kind of filling in. Sparky Pfeiffer coming. He's got his managerial duties to fulfill. So
Yep. He's got to run around here. Got everything going on. So we're ready to rock and roll.
Brewers are down.
Where's everybody else?
Hanging in.
Everybody quit, so I'm here.
That would be some way to find out.
That
would be some way to find out, wouldn't it? That'd be a heck of a way to learn the difference. But we got Tim Allen coming in here later on during the show. He will be in here for the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after the Brewers and Twins wrap up from Miller Park, a 2-1 game. Pair of solo shots. Mitch Garver and Eddie Rosario leave the yard in the first inning against Gio Gonzalez. Brewers get one back off a Keston Hira base hit.
Should have had more than that.
Continuing to try to move, but Lorenzo Cain, an issue when you look at the offensive numbers. Yeah, you're right. Lorenzo Cain grounds into the double play with the bases loaded in that inning, and he'd pick up right where you left off last night, 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position.
That's exactly what the problem has been for most of the year with runners in scoring position. It's just been a constant theme with this baseball team. And we're going to have Mark Simon on from Sports Info Solutions coming up at 3:48, and I had sent him a message earlier. I want to talk with him about OPS versus runners in scoring position and where the Brewers rank versus where the Cubs rank in those categories versus where the Cardinals rank in those categories. You know, because you can get on base all you want, but if you can't get big clutch hits in those situations, it means little to nothing unless, you know, you're hitting a ton of home runs and that's how you're scoring their runs. And that's how the Brewers have done it over the course of time. And now you look at this team with the Milwaukee Brewers right now and say the Twins, who they're playing today, right? That's how they've made their living this year, is the long ball. The Twins have made their living with the long ball. And now Nelson Cruz out hurt for the Twins. That's obviously hurt their offense a little bit, but not enough to loosen the Milwaukee Brewers.
And another solo shot. This one comes off the bat of Miguel Sano, so it's now 3-1 out at Miller Park. Brewers trailing the Twins in the third inning. Gio Gonzalez getting the start today, and they're going to go bullpen today in need. And the need on the roster has been pitching and the ability to have more options in the last month and a half with the injuries, but also with the lack of guys that you had ready to go in the bullpen starting out the year. Corey Knebel, that injury, and the Jeremy Jeffress injury to start out the year, setting Josh Hader into the closer role. And last night, Sparky, tell me if I'm a broken record here, but a solo home run, not the issue. A three-run home run was the issue, and that's what Josh Hader gives up last night as he comes up with two outs in the bottom or the top half of the eighth inning and gives up the three-run shot right after the Brewers had taken the lead in that bottom half. Gary, what are you planning to do with Josh Hader? Because as the former player, you know more than anybody that sometimes players are going to slump, and there's only so much that you're able to do as a manager or a coach of a professional sports team.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the Brewers right now, you look at what's going on with Hader, I just think he's been overused. He's not in a position that he was in last year, and he's not in the same position, so he's been overused. It's the way I see it. He's out of position.
And that's a big part of it. He is not pitching in the position that he was so viable in last year, and the 2018 reliever of the year.
Although, I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, he's good at it, but I think still when you look at the big thing of it is just that it catches up with you. So he's not as automatic as he used to be. And I think it's catching up with him right now. They need to figure out how to get him back into his spot so he can be comfortable.
But the only thing is they're going to have to worry about that in the offseason, because at this point it's a 6-week stretch and you're only going to have time to change that in the offseason, right? Like you're going to have to rely on him at this point.
Well, no, they got other guys coming in. I think they got to develop somebody else. I mean, I don't
know.
But
that's a future conversation. That's not a now conversation,
well,
is it?
Who else they can have? Because he's basically is he a short reliever? Is he an eighth innings guy? Is
one or two innings? Eighth inning, ninth inning, seventh inning. I mean, they've been using him as multiple innings.
But what's his thing though? Just
multiple innings and the ability to get guys out from the left hand, right handed batters.
Right. But is he last year, what was his – what's the difference between his roles last year and this year?
The difference between last year and this year was Josh Hader was deployed whenever you had the lead and you wanted to shorten the game. I mean, he would come in and pitch three outs in the seventh inning or six outs, seventh and eighth, bridge the gap from the sixth and the seventh and get it into Jefferson Knebel. But without that back end slot, you do have to pitch – your best pitcher in the biggest part of the game. That is the biggest part of the game, right?
Right, but that's been the problem is they haven't had Jeffers and Knebel for sure, right? And Jeffers is not what he used to be this year. So no Knebel, he's out. And they just haven't been able to really replace Knebel. Now, you thought you could do that with what's the one hotshot guy we put back there to close games there?
Freddie Peralta.
Yeah, what happened to Freddie Peralta?
Freddie Peralta has been Freddie Peralta and just walked people. I mean, that's the biggest issue. Like when you're walking guys, you can't necessarily be on the back end of the game. And Sparky, that was your main fear with Peralta.
Right.
In
so
that
basically,
role.
They haven't replaced Knebel. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. It is
for sure. And Corbin Burns blew up on you. Corbin Burns was supposed to be that starter. Well, then when that blew up after what was it, a month or whatever it was, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks,
a week and a half.
Yeah. Well, once they pulled Corbin Burns in April and said, "Okay, you're going back to the bullpen because we really need you back there without Corey Knebel," and he was never able to figure it out in the bullpen either. Look, if Corbin Burns was Corbin Burns of last year in the second half, you wouldn't have this problem in the back end of this bullpen because Corbin Burns would be back there with Jeffers, with Hader, and you'd be set still in the last three innings. But him blowing up, Jeffers not being the same, and now Hader being in a funk or whatever you want to call it for the last four or five games leads to problems on the backside of this bullpen. Big problems. Now, Albers is starting to pitch a little bit better again, but yeah, I just, you know, you're talking about competing for this division, competing for a wild card. To have your best reliever go into a funk in August is not exactly ideal.
So you said right there, a funk or whatever you want to call it. Do you believe that this is a funk for Josh Hader?
I hope so. I hope I hope it's not more than that.
It's not a funk.
I hope it's not more than that.
You believe it's more than that, or do you believe that
it's reality?
Less than that.
It's reality.
Please explain.
The reality of the situation is that he's been misused and overused. That's the reality. And then comes the situations that you have with him now as not being as successful as he used to be.
Because last night...
The reality is no Knebel. You haven't been able to replace him.
Okay. So you're saying the reality of the situation, not the reality of his talent and the career trajectory that he's on.
Situation.
Okay. Because last night, the reality, or the realists, as everybody wants to call them when they want to be the smartest person in the room, the thought was... The reality is Josh Hader has reached his peak.
No.
That was a lot of people on.
Well, you got him out of position.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know. Look, the fact of the matter is his fastball is still one of the best fastballs in baseball.
Yes.
They've been written about this a million times over. When Mark Simon comes on, he can tell you more about it at 3:48. We discussed this last week, 2 weeks ago with Mark Simon. His fastball hasn't changed. What's changed is people are sitting on his fastball because he's throwing his fastball more now than he even did last year. He's throwing it 85% of the time, 87% of the time. So you get up there and you just sit on the fastball and hope he misses location. And if he does, you pound it. And if you hit it solid, it's gone because of how hard he's throwing it. And when you're swinging it. Now, not everybody is going to be able to do this, but most Major League Baseball players can hit a fastball. Most are able to hit a fastball. And when you don't have a secondary pitch that's all that good at all, and he doesn't, that is going to eventually catch up to you if you start missing location. Last night, Pena wanted it up in the zone, because that's what Manny Pena loves calling. Nobody's hitting Hader up in the zone like that. Not the way they did. And Marwin Gonzalez got a pitch lower in the zone, and he hammered it out on the very first pitch he saw from Hader. Want to know why? Because he knew it was fastball. It was just a matter of where it was going to be. To me, the reason Josh Hader isn't in the rotation, like we've said a million times, is because he can't figure out how to develop any other pitches other than that fastball. So they stuck him back in the bullpen and said, all right, blow people away. This is good. We're fine with this. You can be dominant and help us in another way versus being in the starting rotation like you were coming up in the minors. But this is the big leagues. Now you need more than a fastball to be in a starting rotation. So now he's in the bullpen. You can have a whole career of this, but you got to have pinpoint accuracy, because if you miss, like he's missed the last, what, week, would you say, 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, week and a half, 2 weeks. It's been a really, really tough 2 weeks for Josh Hader.
It can get ugly, and it could cost yourself and the team some wins, and that's what's happened.
He sits right now with a 12-plus ERA in the month of August. That's also encompassing with 3 home runs. He had 4 given up in the month of July. 7 in the last 6 weeks is something that is not cause for concern. It is a concern. There's no other way to put it that it is concerning for what you've seen from Josh Hader, but what would you do with Josh Hader? 414-799-1250. And where do you see this lining up in the long-term view of Josh Hader? There was a couple of people that had some comments last night that I got into.
On postgame?
I just got into it a little bit with some people. I wasn't happy. But in that same vein, Matt Olson, it was execution, and that was a slider that was supposed to be out down in the way in the zone. It misses back in the middle of the zone. And like you said, Sparky, when you miss in the middle of the zone, big league hitters will hammer you. 414-799-1250. This is the Wendy's Big Show. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. We're locked and loaded until the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show comes at you after Brewers and Twins. It's 3-1 Twins now. 3 solo shots given up by Gio Gonzalez. Lynn Dickey comes up for Packers quarterback at 248. Mark Simon at 348. And right now, a way that you can feed the family for under $10.
Hey. Check this out. Get fired up. Wendy's Spicy Nuggets are back. You asked and the Queen of Spice delivered. Wendy's one and only Spicy Nuggets are back in business along with a hot lineup. Get the iconic Spicy Nugs or try original Spicy Chicken Sandwich or Spicy Jalapeno Bacon Fries. Each menu item is cooked with the perfect blend of heat and flavor that'll keep you coming back for more. Spicy Nuggets also available in the $5 Biggie Bag. Wendy's, we got you. Available for a limited time at participating Wendy's.
What would you do with Josh Hader, and where do you see Josh Hader's career trajectory? I asked Steve Sparky Fife for the question people were asking me last night. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
And that one's in the air, left center field. And this game now belongs to the Twins on the first pitch. Marwin Gonzalez hits a 3-run homer.
That's Brian Anderson last night, Fox Sports Wisconsin. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. This game now belongs to the Twins. Even BA knew it was over. Like, I mean, when that home run gets hit into the Brewers bullpen, it's a 3-run shot, and you still have 6 outs to play with in the top half of the 8th inning, the game was over. If it could have been an 8-run difference.
Even Tim Allen was 2-0. At that point said it's over?
He did say in the 9th inning, said, all right, going to the break room, grabbing a cup of water, and I'll be back right in time for the Brewers to come back and send this thing to extra innings. But I think even he knew he was lying to himself.
Because he was in here in this last break and said the Brewers are going to come back and win this thing like 9-6.
Yeah, I think this game is far, far, far from over.
Right.
It's only a 3-2 game, and then the Milwaukee Brewers still with second and third now in the bottom half of the third, a run-scoring base hit from Eric Thames. Makes it that 3-2, and they score Keston Hira. Keston Hira drove in the other Brewers run in the first inning. 3 solo shots given up by Gio Gonzalez here in the game. A day game matinee against the Minnesota Twins. They'll wrap up this 2-game set quickly. We'll have the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after. We have Lynn Dickey coming up in about a half hour from right now. 414-799-1250. What would you do with Josh Hader? And the question, Steve, is what do you do with Josh Hader knowing that you have to pitch him and knowing he still has to be a viable option for you if you're going to do anything this year and beyond? Like, to say that Josh Hader is not still in the centerpiece of the long-term plan of this team, I think is outrageous. I had a lot of people last night talking on the postgame show.
Saying what?
Tweeting in on the postgame show saying, it's Derek Turnbow, man. It's Jim Henderson. It's John Axford. Jim Henderson didn't make it to the major leagues until he was 29 years old.
Yep.
Josh Hader is 25 years old and is a 2-time All-Star and a former National League Reliever of the Year. So when you say
Turnbull, that means that he flames out?
That he flames out and he's out of the majors by the time he's 30.
Okay.
Right? Because that was the Derek Turnbull career. John Axford made himself a couple of different stops along the way, but he was a converted starter and had a chance to almost make it to the big leagues as a starter, then got knocked all the way down and built his way back up. Like, you're talking about career journeyman and then had the pop-up year when you're talking about Henderson, Axford, Cole, Turnbull. This is a bona fide stud who's been a bona fide stud his entire pro career.
Yeah, if you look at Turnbull, he broke into the big leagues in 2000 as a 22-year-old, and then was out until 2003 at 25, came back with Anaheim for a couple of years, and then really busted out into the scene where he really had his first full season in the bigs with the Brewers in 2005 with a 1.74 ERA that year. And I'm looking for saves. Had 39 saves, and then it was it. Then a 6.87 ERA, a 4.63 ERA, and a 15.63 ERA, and he was out of baseball at the age of 31. I don't think Hader obviously is going to go necessarily to that level where Turnbull literally only had 1 year, but Danny Cole was another one where, you know, the Brewers get him from the Braves, and he puts together a couple of years. Then he goes back to the Braves and really never was necessarily the same type of pitcher as he was previous. Hader, again, is, in my opinion, you know, we say with Giannis all the time, boy, you got to fight. If he gets a jumper, oh, boy, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he can just figure out, if he can get that slider to be a knockout-type pitch like the fastball, where they can't sit 85% of the time on that fastball, I think it just takes him to a whole nother stupid level. And I'm not saying he's not good. He is very good. But to get him to that next level, you know, if he can figure out that second wipeout pitch besides that fastball, it makes him unhittable at that point, because now it's 50-50 which one's coming and you don't know. And if you can't sit on the fastball like everybody in baseball currently is, that makes him even more dangerous than he is.
Right. In today's baseball, what do you see? You see walks, homers, strikeouts. That's pretty much Josh Hader's recipe. If he's going to get hit, it's probably going to leave the yard.
Yep.
And if you miss, it's most likely going to be a strikeout. Gary, when I look at those guys, I look at dudes that we talk about in football as, well, they are who they are.
Right.
Josh Hader is what you know he is, and he is still a very, very talented guy that's going to be in the middle of these plans for a very long time.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I don't think you need to be giving up on him. I don't think, but people tend to overreact sometimes.
Absolutely. Yes, they do. Prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're getting. I just think, and I hate saying, but I just think he's been exposed. He's been exposed by the way he's being used. And when that happens, he's not what he used to be. And so he needs to have around him what he had around him last year. And if that were to happen, you'll see him going back being who he used to be. Now, Steve is right. Does he need another pitch? Yeah, because everybody is scouting. Everybody's looking. And they know when it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just sit back on this thing and wait. And then, boom, it is launched and it is gone. So that is a problem, too. There's two things. One is he's been exposed because of his situation. Two, yeah, teams are catching up with what he's doing right now.
And the scouting part of it, I think, is fascinating, Gary, because
very fascinating.
Watching film has just really taken off in baseball probably in the last decade or so.
Yep.
Understanding the spin rates of balls and the TrackMan and how many percentages of times they're throwing a fastball in a 1-2 count compared to a 0-0 count. And the analytics around baseball have exponentially grown here in the last decade that he was so dangerous because you couldn't necessarily pick up that arm slot. Do you think that's something that is one of the main reasons why teams are kind of catching up to him?
Well, it could be. I mean, I'm not smart enough to know all that kind of stuff like that. I mean, I don't do that. That's not me. I just know who you are. But as you have guys, they're looking at tape, they're looking at film, they're picking up tendencies. I mean, now see, I had to flip it to football. For me, that joker, if he's got that right foot back 1 or 2 inches more, or if he's sitting heavy, one's pass, one's run.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you can tip hitters off, or you can tip guys off to where they know what's coming.
And a knock against Yu Darvish when he was going into free agency was the fear that he was doing that in the World Series. And it cost him a lot of money. And pro baseball has changed its way of learning, studying the game, and also adjusting to the game. The league is making adjustments against Josh Hader.
Yeah, sure, that's happened. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And then add on to he just doesn't have Knable Jeffries like you had last year to really help him out. I mean, he's been overused as far as I'm concerned, but that's all they got.
Well, and two, you know this, when you're being overused and if you are on the fatigue side, you start missing.
And
you're missing your arm slot. You're missing your consistent nature of the arm slot of where you're going.
Didn't he just come off 4 days of rest?
Sure, I'm saying for the whole 4.5 months, though.
Yes, for the whole 4.5 months.
Yeah,
you're not buying that excuse?
Here's what we probably should do. Compared to last year, either, I'm sure they have this, How many pitches has he pitched compared to this time last year? How many innings has he been out there?
I would guess
compared
he's
to this time.
I would
last
guess
year?
It's less, off the top of my brain.
Well, he's thrown 55 2/3, and he threw 81 last year. That's tracking right around the same period. But you're right in this sense, Gary. He was pitching in different set ways last year,
yes,
of how many days off he would have in between he
correct
would go.
Right.
He had a different, they treated him differently in this fact of they only pitched him in games where they were leading. This year they've been a little bit closer to desperation with Josh Hader, trying to win some of these games knowing he's their dude.
So now that's more pressure. You're always going to throw, but it just adds to your workload and it adds to, you know, I mean, it's almost similar to what Steve said about Giannis yesterday. Well, I'm not going to go as hard as I used to. I don't know if he can turn that on, turn it off. And I don't think Hader can do that either.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are what you
good
are.
Good point.
But still, when you come in under pressure situation, you tend to strain just a little bit more.
He's pitched in 44 games. He pitched in 55 last year. Where the innings may be leaning heavier towards last year, Sparky, the appearances maybe more frequently and shorter, while we've also seen him go for 6 outs, 8 outs this year, unlike we did last year, more regularly you saw him in those multiple inning roles.
We've had Paul Wagner on numerous times before, former Major League Baseball pitcher, former Brewers pitcher.
I haven't talked to Paul in a while.
And the one thing that Wags has always said is, you know, it's not really the number of pitches, it's more of the up-down stuff that is the biggest concern. You know, you
what's
get
up down,
in the
up,
you get up in the bullpen and you warm up, and then they don't use you and you sit back down. And then you get up in the bullpen later and you sit back down.
But Hader
and
doesn't have that problem, does he?
No, think. He doesn't
not
get
very much. No,
he doesn't necessarily get hot and then get
right
sat down.
If
correct.
He's getting up,
but,
he's getting up.
Right. But the difference is, and this is where it changes, he's pitching multiple innings. He's not just coming in to face two batters and then going sitting down and his day's over. So he's going through a high-stress, high-leverage situation when he comes in most
point
situations,
yes, mm-hmm,
sits down, comes back out,
that's my
and
point
more than likely, unless the lead expanded, he's got to go right back into the heater, and right back into the pressure cooker, I guess, and go through it again. And I think
it's more of a grind.
Right. And I think that eventually does wear on
it
you a little bit.
On you.
And
yeah,
no question it does.
Yeah.
With how I would use Josh Hader and tell me if you disagree. How I would use Josh Hader is I would use him today if I give the opportunity.
That's
if
counsel's given, MO
if
usually.
If I'm given the opportunity, I'm going to pitch Josh Hader today if it's in a situation where we're going to try to win a game.
Yeah. So if it's like, you know, 5-4 Brewers in the eighth inning, you go
yeah
back to Hader.
I'm going to him again.
In the eighth inning again. Now, if he gives up another home run and you lose again, then what?
Then we got to figure something. But you got to keep trotting out in the sense of he is still your best option back there outside of maybe who, Matt Albers?
But see, well, yeah. I mean, really. I mean, at this point, Matt Albers
is
the one guy that you can turn to besides Josh Hader in the similar situation. Now, you got an off day tomorrow, right? So
mm-hmm
you don't play tomorrow. So if he does blow up and he eventually costs you a game today again because of a long ball, at least you've got a day for everybody to recoup a little bit, move on from the fact they should have won both games against Minnesota and instead lost both games, and then get ready to go again on Friday. I think you have to run Hader back out there. I'm with you, baby Tosh. If they're up a run or up two runs and the time calls there in the eighth inning, you go to him. Or let me change the scenario. Let's say you're up one run. Albers is available. Hader's is available. Hader is available. Do you go to Albers in the eighth and save Hader to the ninth inning so he doesn't pitch multiple innings?
Yeah, I'm trying to have him simply be the closer today and try to win the game.
So not two innings, just the ninth inning, and that's it. Right.
Gary, your thoughts on that? You ready to go to him? You're not necessarily going to have to right now, as it's 3-2, bases are loaded for Mitch Garver in the top half of the fourth inning. But given the opportunity today, you're in a situation up one, game on the line, three outs to get. Are you going with Josh Hader or somebody else today?
Throw him back out there. Let him ride. Let him ride. And then you deal with the fallout later. He's my best guy. I trust him. I depend on him. You gotta let him go work.
And I thought it made the most sense. That's what Counts said last night. He goes, I want to use Josh Hader. Like, if you guys are going to give me that opportunity again, I'm going to throw Josh Hader because we need Hader to win.
And McKelvey essentially second-guessed him on the Brewers website today.
Yep.
Second-guessed the idea of going to him versus staying with what they had at that point. And he laid out the numbers and the splits, lefties, him versus righties and all that other stuff. And McKelvey doesn't normally do that very much. That's not something Adam does. Adam normally doesn't go to second guessing. That's normally a hard to court thing. But in this case, he did. He laid out all the numbers and said, you know, he's sticking by what he did, but you can definitely second guess counsel in the way he did it.
It's a tipping point moment right now in the Brewers Twins game out at Miller Park. It's the top half of the fourth inning. The bases are loaded for Mitch Garver, who left the yard to lead off the game. Three solo shots. The difference in the game for the Twins today. It's 3-2 right now in the top half of the fourth inning.
Rondon just blocked a horrible pitch from Gio Gonzalez. That would have been the NLCS. That ball would have went to the backstop.
If you're letting things by like Yasmani Grandal, maybe it's wind and money going out your windows, call Pella Windows and Doors.
Yeah, folks, we always talk about our good friend Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And, folks, you know we love her dearly. And now it's time for you guys to meet her. That's right. I say it's now it's time for you guys to meet her. The new Pella Experience Center's grand opening is next Friday. And the big show will be there from 2 to 6, 19030 West Blue Mound Road behind Cops. Come in and see us. Meet Gina Della from Pella and see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and doors. You know fall and winter is right around the corner, and now is the time to get your house ready for that. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin have great deals going on during the grand opening. So come see the big show and hang out with us and the great team from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Friday at the Pella Experience Center, 19030 West Blue Mound Road, or go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com.
We have Lynn Dickey, Packer Hall of Famer, at 248 next. Somebody might be jumping back onto the train, the Aaron Rodgers MVP train, and this dude played in the league. We're back after this. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. This is the Wendy's Big Show. You can come out and golf with us and other guys from the Fan, other local celebrities as well. September 25th at the beautiful Western Lakes Golf Club in Pewaukee. It's the 13th annual Perkins Restaurant Bakery's charity golf outing. Benefit and give kids the world. We'll hear from somebody from a charitable organization, somebody from Give Kids the World that was able to benefit from what this money goes to and the incredible stories that they have coming up here before September 25th. But now until then, it's $125. We'll give you the opportunity for a great day of golf, provide you with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast from Perkins, lunch from Robert's Specialty Meats, and dinner from Saz's. Get all the details now. Sign up today, 1057fmthefan.com.
Great Lakes Dragway, obviously a huge sponsor of this. Two new sponsors coming on board as of today for the golf outing. Lincoln Contractor Supply on board as of today, and Wisconsin Indoor Golf Center also on as of today. So thanks to all of them. Young Express, obviously, involved like they are every year as part of the driving range sponsor this year. So thanks to all the great sponsors for being involved with the golf outing coming up on September 25th. Go sign up because these spots are going to go fast. It's going to get sold out, and they're going to be mad that you didn't sign up. We're giving you a month plus notice here to go sign up. 1057fmthefan.com.
You know what I like about this golf tournament is that you see, you hear us more than you see us. And now you get an opportunity to see us and talk to us. And maybe you guys don't think, once I talk to you guys in person, you guys don't think I hate Aaron Rodgers. You know that I love him to death. But you probably don't know that if you're hearing me talking all the time.
Yeah, probably don't know that if you hear Garrett talking all the time.
Right? But now you have an opportunity to come out and have a conversation with me in real life. And plus, it all goes to charity. And, you know, along with our toy drive that we do in the wintertime, and this is our golf tournament that we do, we're trying to help and give back to the community, which is always great. And along with that, we get a chance, too, also to see a lot of you guys, a lot of you people that that actually listen to us. And I think it's just great that we kind of just, hey, do a little kumbaya session. And is it Western?
Western Lakes.
It's a great track.
I've never played Western Lakes, so yeah. So I know that, but it's in that cluster of tracks out there in Pewaukee, Waukesha.
Yeah,
they're all long. Track. They're all but open up a little bit there.
I need to be open up.
Yeah, well, that's, you know me. You know how I like to spray and balls go all over the place. But as long as you hit them hard, that's how I always go.
That's
just,
how you
just try to hit it hard as much as you can. Yeah. Just hit it as hard as you can, and usually good things happen. Mm-hmm. It's now 5-2 Twins out at Miller Park. Mitch Garver, a 2-run base hit. Brewers hitting. Will be hitting in the bottom half of the fourth inning. It's not over. Gio Gonzalez gets pulled after 3 2/3. 4 walks, 5 strikeouts, 5 hits, and 5 earned runs. Still responsible for a man at first and third. As Jeremy Jeffress here pitches in the fourth inning to Miguel Sano, just to keep you in the ball game at this point, Sparky.
Just to keep you in the ball game. How life is funny when Jeremy Jeffress is now in a game in which you're down by 3 runs.
You had him.
He would never pitch in this situation last year.
You had
no chance.
Him pitching in spots this year where you were down even more than this, like 5 or 6 runs. Same with Corbin Burnes. Now, you and I haven't talked about the Corbin Burnes mess here in the last couple of weeks, and it really is a mess. He now has been pushed down to Biloxi to try to figure out what you can do with Corbin Burnes. How much faith are you having in this moving forward? Because that was your dude coming into the year, was Corbin Burnes.
I'm Corbin Burnes. I want to go to Cincinnati. Trade me to Cincinnati. I'm sure he'll figure it out. Y'all can't figure me out. Something is clearly wrong. I've never been this bad. He's never been this bad in his career in the minors.
Oh, so it's not his fault. It's the coaching staff's fault.
Has he ever been this bad in the minors? If we looked at his numbers, I don't think so. I don't think he's ever been this bad. Probably in his life. Well, maybe back in like youth league.
Mm-hmm.
But from this perspective, he is so messed up right now that you're now having to send him down another level to see if those coaches can fix him, because your major league coaches can, your AAA coaches can't. So now we're going to send him down to AA to see if they can work with him.
So, Steve, you really think this is all about coaching? Is that where you laying your head on all this stuff?
For him, yeah.
For him.
Dude, he's so messed up. And, you know, how much of it is physical versus mental, I don't know. But there has to be a lot of mental involved right now with this. Like, I think... this is going to sound crazy. I would just shut him down. We're done. Just extend a break. You're good. See you next year. And we're going to see what we can do. We're just going to have some side sessions. Can work on some stuff here the rest of the year. But you're done pitching in games. We're just going to try and fix you. Because I think mentally, he's probably fried at this point. I mean, think about it. He came into the year. Derek Johnson told him to add 2 pitches to his repertoire of 3. So he came in with 5 pitches to get ready to pitch in the starting rotation. That was the deal. So that flamed out quickly before they moved him out of there and put him in the bullpen. Then they put him back in the rotation. Then they put him back in the bullpen. Then they sent him down to the minors. Then they called him up from the minors. Then they sent him back down to the minors. I mean, this dude's been through a lot this baseball season. And now you're telling me he's going from AAA to AA on top of it, which just adds more to the mental stress and everything else he has going on in his brain. Maybe they can fix him here in a couple of weeks. I don't think so. He's better off just shutting him down and being like, we're going to do some side sessions, but you're done pitching in games for the rest of the year. We're just going to work on some mechanical stuff. And, you know, he can stay down there. He doesn't have to go anywhere else to work out. But from that perspective, I think mentally he's definitely fried. And physically, I'm not a pitching coach. I don't know how screwed up he is physically, but I bet you mentally is a large part of this.
As a former athlete, how do you view that thought process, that it is solely on coaching at that point?
Baseball is so different. It's so different than any, you know, then baseball to me is a lot like golf.
Yes.
Yes, it's mental.
No doubt.
And it's just so many mechanical stuff going on. You can totally overthink it.
Right, because, I mean, it is a team game, but it's one-on-one.
It's one-on-one.
Every single time at the dish.
So, I mean, and then you got to find someone you jive with, you love, you know, your hitting coach, your pitching coach, you know, With golf, it's, you know, it's your
swing
golf
coach.
It's, you know, it's all this stuff. Yeah.
Or your caddy.
Yeah.
Not get along with your caddy.
So, yeah, there's a lot that goes in to baseball. I don't know. I mean, if they were trying to get him to throw 5 pitches and he wasn't ready for it, then maybe he was overwhelmed a little bit. And I don't necessarily disagree.
He never did. When he got up here in April, he went away from the other 2 pitches. He barely ever threw them in a regular game situation.
Right, because he was afraid to.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't have it.
If you look at some of Corbin Burnes' numbers throughout his career, his first year at St. Mary's in California when he was in college, 19 years old, in 19 games, he had a 6 1.18 ERA.
That's his freshman
year?
Lowers
down, yep. And then his last year, his second year at college, after 13 starts, he had a 3.74, a 3.79 once his first year in pro ball, which is a split season. Then you start moving down into the years, and 2018, his 13 starts in Colorado Springs, and then also six appearances in the bullpen while they tried to work him out and shorten him up. A 5.15 earned run average. Some of that can be
the Colorado Springs
effect, but when you got a WHIP of 1.449, that is not good. So
nope.
I mean, like,
you're right.
as good as the ERA and the production was at the big league level last year for Corbin Burnes, the last couple of years we've seen some possible holes in his game.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, no doubt about it. And for me, because you know Gary, if I'm a fan, I'm a fan, right? For me, I look at Colorado Springs and go, dude. Nobody was pitching well at Colorado Springs. This wasn't a Corbin Burnes thing. That's why the Brewers got done with that affiliate and said, we're good. This isn't helping anybody.
Yes.
But the WHIP, I can't. I mean, there's nothing to argue about against the WHIP.
That's a difficult one to come with.
I've got nothing.
But on the plus side, same argument that I make with Josh Hader, Corbin Burnes is 24 years old. So let's all pump the brakes on saying that Corbin Burnes is what he is for his career.
But since you brought up Corbin Burnes, have you seen what Jesus Aguilar is doing with Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I've kept track.
Looks pretty good. Yeah.
He's smiling in the dugout.
Forgot to bring that up to Rami yesterday because, you know, he's the king of, I was right about Jesus Aguilar. Remember last time he was in the studio? I was right, you were wrong. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, he can still swing the bat.
We'll see.
He can do that, and they can swing a hammer over a J&J contract.
Well, yeah, they can swing a couple of them. My good friends over at J&J Contracts. Guys, you're looking to remodel your house. Do something to the interior of your house, kitchen cabinets, countertops, bathrooms, livable space, outdoor oasis, you name it. My good friends at J&J Contracts can get it done for you. And I know a lot of people now these days, they love where they live in and their house is pretty much paid off. And a lot of people just want to go in and upgrade their house a little bit. Those granite countertops right now is absolutely incredible. A lot of people are remodeling their bathroom and upgrading their bathroom because at some point you might want to sell it. And if you do, you got all the latest and greatest stuff inside your house, redo your floors and all that. My good friends at J&J Contractors get all that done for you, plus more. Call them today, J&J Contractors, and ask for Jason.
Lynn Dickey, Packer Hall of Famer, joins us next. Winnie's Big Show on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.